with protests breaking out on our campuses across the country, everyone is asking, what's going on? Why suddenly now? What's happening? What's behind this? Initially, it seemed like spontaneous protests of innocent students, simply outraged at the atrocities of innocent civilians being killed in Gaza. But if that's the case, why were there no protests after October 7th and those atrocities? And it's clearly the intention of the protesters and their organizers to create that impression. That's an excellent way of writing a narrative. But the more we dig into it and the more time passes, we realize that this is a very insidious, planned strategy being funded, being planned for years with the understanding that this is a PR war, that Vietnam was not lost in Vietnam. It was lost in the minds of Americans. So without comparing the two, Vietnam may have been an unjust war. The impression is that these students are waking us all up when in fact there's far more criminal intent going on with students being used. So it's critical that we dig deeper, we understand the forces at work, because this is high stakes. So please join me in this important conversation. Are our universities being attacked by Hamas? Is Hamas at war with our universities and with America? Hi, this is Simon Jacobson, and we will be speaking about Are Our Universities Being Attacked by Hamas? This program is dedicated by Andrew Sveshnikov in memory of Polina Shpak, and dedicated by Shira Ezra in loving memory of her father, Jerry Finkelstein, who embodied the values of family, integrity, and Jewish identity. May his legacy live on. With protests breaking out on our university campuses across the country, everybody's asking, what's going on? What's behind it? The initial impression is that students, innocent students, who are simply looking for justice, are outraged of so many Gazans, innocent civilians being killed. But if that's the case, why didn't they break out in protest after October 7th? Why don't they break out in protests and many other atrocities going on? The more time passes, the more we dig into it, the more we see, no, this is not a spontaneous emotional reaction. It's planned, it's insidious, it's strategic. I've read very reliable articles that 20 years ago, this was already being planned in PR firms of the West, being funded by billions of dollars of the Muslim Arab world, understanding that American minds are fickle. And if you can capture the media and the universities and Hollywood, you can sway American opinion. We'll talk more about that later. So it's vital that we all understand the forces at work here. I remember an attorney calling me, before the war broke out, before October 7th. And he asked me if I would join him. He was an attorney that represented Black Lives Matter. He asked me if I would join him on a march. He knew me, he had come to my classes. I know him quite well, very good man, but somewhat misguided. And he was like setting me up. He wanted to challenge me, test me. So I said to him, Richard, Let me ask you something. In the Tree of Life massacre of the Jews a few years ago in Pittsburgh, I didn't see you flying to Pittsburgh, or for that matter, New York, joining a protest. This is your own people, the Jewish people. I'm not minimizing discrimination against any people. But why are you so selective in who you march with? If I saw that you were marching with every cause of anyone being hurt, innocent people, that's one thing. But it seems very selective. His response to me, with respect, he said to me, "You sound like a racist." I sound like a racist. Anyway, I didn't argue with him. I like him. I'm friends with him. I was thinking, is it because he's being paid? This is his, it's a job. Has he convinced himself? I told him, if you march and all of them, I'll march with you. But I'm not going to be selective, because that sounds biased and sounds inappropriate, actually. Because there may be other agendas going on. When you hear someone outraged at a particular atrocity, but not at another one, you have to immediately ask yourself why. What's going on? Even if you have critique against Israel, and I'm sure there are things to criticize, but Israel's completely wrong about everything? Is there any compassion? You don't hear that. So then you start digging deeper and you realize there's something else going on here. I don't even think it's just blatant anti-Semitism. I think there are people that have that. I think it's ignorance with agendas that are, we don't even know. It could be financial agendas. It could be people who are looking to create Marxist and leftist agendas, cancel culture, as we know, the woke movement. Who knows? Is it just anarchy against America that is hated by certain individuals? So I think it's time to become wise and wake up. I personally believe totally that America is pro-Israel and pro-Jews and is very disturbed by many of these activities that are hidden behind masks, wantonly attacking Jews, attacking Israel. But the silent majority of the United States is still asleep. Like the Japanese said when they attacked Pearl Harbor, have we woken up? Sleeping tiger. It took Pearl Harbor to wake up America. I just hope we don't need more to wake up America. So it's important to look ahead and to understand the forces at work here. You know, what I cannot fathom for the life of me, after all we've been through in history, wars, it seems like a very simple equation. Somebody wants a ceasefire. They want civilians to stop being killed. Let's call them innocent civilians, even if you want to call them that. There's a simple way to do it. It's called surrendering. You attacked Israel. You attacked over 1,200 men, women, and children in the most horrific, savage fashion. And it's all based on a declaration of war that precedes October 7th in the constitution of Hamas, the calling of the destruction of Israel, destruction of the Jewish people. And until you don't revoke that, until you don't stop that, until you don't surrender unconditionally and return all the hostages unconditionally. And unconditional surrender means that the winner dictates the terms, as it was at the end of World War II. Then what else is there to talk about? Why is there a negotiation altogether? The narrative has become so skewed. That's what universities and honest men and women of the country should be protesting. The call for surrender. And everything stops. It could have stopped months ago. The cynicism. And so many people buying into it. The equivalent of Hitler and the Nazis saying that the Jews in the concentration camps are their oppressors. Hitler actually said that. In 1945, at the end of the war, 1944, he was saying, "I never wanted to go to war. It was the Jews that initiated and generated this war." They pulled us into this war. That's why they need to be annihilated. Where exactly did that happen? But that's the story. That's his narrative. The similarities are uncanny. So I don't think I want to go make a case for this. I think any sensible, intelligent person, and you don't need to be a rocket scientist, looks through this, sees the clarity. And those that don't, I don't think an argument is going to make a difference. So that's, but we need to dig deeper. We need to understand that the goal here, especially with an election looming, is to win over as many minds, innocent minds, and the media and Hollywood and all those that are naive and don't even know what we're talking about, to try to win over, like, and then turn the country against Israel, against the Jewish people. That's what's going on behind the scenes. And that's why you find students who don't even have a clue why they're marching. And that's why they're hiding behind masks. If it's such a good cause, why don't you just be upfront about it? Why does it have to have a terror element to it, a violent element of foreboding, fear? That's not coming from a sign of, I mean, in Vietnam, for example, the protests were all open. Nobody hid behind masks. I understand there'll be all kinds of excuses. So absolutely this is an assault of extreme Muslim fundamentalism against the United States, no different than 9/11 was an assault against our freedoms. Then America woke up, at least for a while, because it was clear, it was a blatant attack. Of course they wanted to change the narrative that the Jews were behind that as well. And it's vital, not just for the clarity purposes, for our children, for generations, to understand what is the true story. So the true story is, I always refer to Qutb, Qutb, Sayyad Qutb, one of the fathers of modern Muslim fundamentalism, who was executed by Nasser, President Gamal Abdel Nasser of Egypt in 1968, because he threatened his regime, his more Ba'athist, you can say, pan-Arab, more secular Muslim, Arab brotherhood. A man who was a scholar, wrote, I believe, an 80-volume commentary on the Quran, and made it very clear that God chose Islam after the Jews had failed and the Christians had failed to transform this world into a divine place. So it's a war of the Muslim truth, of God, against the infidels, what he calls the Judeo Crusades. What are the Jewish and the Crusades? The Crusades attacked the Jews, trying to bring the Christians and the Jews together, being the decadent, infidel, anti-God forces that need to be eliminated. Now, is it true that the Western world has decadence? Yes, it's true. But so does the Muslim world. How do you like that? And he called even for violent jihad to drive this cause. This was what shaped the mind of Osama bin Laden and many young, intelligent, educated young men and women till this day. So it's a religious war. It's not a war just over a piece of land. And Islam has to control, especially a holy land and promised land like Israel. And one inch cannot belong to anyone but them. And the Jews stand in the way. That's where they accept no peace proposals. That's where they're not really willing to negotiate. And even if yes, it's only a front to gain something and then demand more, they will never be at peace. And they'll blame Israel that you are enslaving us. You know something, in this world, the Jewish people lived in Europe for many years. They lived in Muslim countries for many years. Then they were exterminated and they were expelled. And what did they do? They left and they built homes and communities elsewhere, including in Israel. But you don't find the Arab Muslim world joining together and saying, ah, you're not Palestinian, you come from Jordan, you come from Egypt. No, Egypt is building a wall, not allowing these innocent civilians to come, at least temporarily give them refuge, Where's the humanitarianism in that? Because it's convenient, very easy to keep them in this concentration camp. Don't let them out and blame Israel for it all. It's clear as day. So understanding the deeper roots of it all is understanding, yes, there are elements in Islam that are at war with the Western world. Iran believes that firmly. You start asking, what is their irrational hatred of the United States? It comes down to ideology and religion. What does Iran want? It wants dominance. Islam is going to have to learn, just as Christianity did, that we will have to find a way of being harmony with the other children of Abraham. And your religious passions are all beautiful, but they have to be harnessed in peaceful ways. But we're not there yet. There are wars to be fought. And the United States, interestingly, for its own political agenda, generally is on the right side. But when it comes to politics, and who knows what forces are at work, where Biden is clearly not making most of the calls, what forces behind the scenes are at work with its own agenda. But the American public, wake up. And we wake up through ballots, through voting. We wake up by speaking up. So many ways, this is a blessing in disguise because people are coming out of the woodwork. Well, let's find out where the funding is coming from. Follow the cash. Let it be investigated. Let there be Senate, Congress committees. Should there be funding to these universities? I've already suggested that good business people should start their own universities. This is the time. The brand of the Ivy League universities has been tarnished. Now's the time. Open up a university. Hire away the best professors. Encourage the best students to join. You can create the new Harvard and surpass the corrupt one. And let boards deal with that. Let them make those decisions and presidents. Put it all up front. United States, you know, you have the right to protest. Yes, we also have a right to compete. And let the best man win. This is capitalism after all. The customer is always right. But it's only when you understand beyond the external narrative that's trying to be pushed. Israel and the Jewish people are a necessity for the entire world. That's why we're here almost 4,000 years. We brought the most cherished values to the world, and we continue to endure. Perfect? No. Plenty of mistakes have been made. But we need to learn from World War II. Appeasement is not the way. Compromise is not the way. Unfortunately, civilians are being used. I'm not going to get into the debate whether everyone's a civilian, where Muslim sympathies, even those that may not be the ones ready to rape and burn innocent men, women, and children, but there's a sympathy because Muslim ideology. I remember being in a hotel in Jerusalem, and many of the workers there are Muslims, Arab Muslims, from East Jerusalem, from different areas in Israel, treated very well, paid well. So as someone who has done interviews and comes from a media family, I decided to interview a few informally. And I asked, do you like your conditions here? Yes. Are you treated respectfully? Absolutely. Any discrimination? No. Pay? Excellent. What would you be paid if this was under Palestinian control or Arab control, whatever you want to call it? $1, one penny to the dollar. And what would you prefer? Who should control Jerusalem? Everyone said the same thing. Arabs should control it. Belongs to us. But your pay would be so low, your conditions, you wouldn't be able to pay your bills. Your families are now rewarded. They said, yes, but not everything is money. And I was thinking to myself, I'm not saying that they're all terrorists and that they all attack innocent people. But the sympathy, it's an ideology. In a way, you can envy it because they hold on to it. As distorted as it may be, there's a certain passion about it, a certain unwavering, uncompromising passion. And as I've said many times, demonic passion, well, let's put it this way, mediocre sobriety is no match for demonic passion, even if it's demonic, because it's just the intensity of it. Where's our passion? Our passion. Pearl Harbor woke up the sleeping tiger. Our passion has to be for the values and demonstrate it and strongly. Universities, God Almighty. Universities should be beacons. Instead of just finding excuses and these lame defenses, and when necessary, you know, commencements are being canceled. Instead of all that type of defensiveness, get up and say, we are universities of the United States of America, the land on the hill, the kingdom, the palace, of the castle, the land on the hill, the thinking of Abraham Lincoln's words, to bring light onto nations of what is morality, human rights, freedoms, which, of course, all come from the Bible, from the Torah, from Judaism. That's what we should say. What do you stand for? Instead of this timid approach, which is, as I said, lame and weak. Where are our leaders? I've not heard one speech, not from the president, not from a vice president, not from leaders, that says that, declare that. That's what we're standing for. That's what this war is really about. The moral clarity, a moral compass. And everybody is subject to it, not selective demonstration, not selective critique. But politics, money, power, all come into play. And we forget what those crystallized values are. I don't want this to get worse, but in some ways, I hope it does. Let me correct. I don't mean I hope, actually hope, but I mean to say that it should finally wake up the sleeping tiger of our democracy, of our freedoms, because that's what's under attack. And I am a believer that Islam can be transformed. Or I'd rather say, can be harnessed the way it should be harnessed, can be tamed. Christianity was a very violent religion for who knows how many centuries, wreaking terror and havoc across Europe. Look at the battles, the wars between the Catholics and the Protestants, and of course, against the Jews and against the Muslims and so on. The Crusades, all in the name of religion, all in the name of faith. But time passed, reality check, market correction, and it was tamed and created a beautiful country like the United States. But we're losing sight. We have lost sight of our mission, of our calling. It's time to reclaim that. That's what's needed here. This is not a war against Hamas per se. Their war is against our way of life and our freedoms, and are abusing it and exploiting it by saying, oh, freedom of it. Would there such protests be allowed in any Muslim country? So they're using our freedoms against us. So it's a time to wake up and say, here's the war. The war is not for Israel against the Muslims. The war is for God. The war is for morality. The war is for human rights. The war is for decency. And there are ways you deal with grievances. The cynicism, the pain. When I see these Muslim and Arab men, women, and children crying in Gaza, my outrage is against their captors, their leaders, who want to subject them to that, and they want everyone to see that, and then they blame Israel. Remember that story in the hospital? Immediately, Israel was criticized, and they found out it was a bomb, a missile that came from the Arabs in Gaza. But that was quieted down. No one talked about it because it didn't fit the narrative. My friends, my cousins, of all backgrounds, Jewish, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, you name it, atheist, agnostic, it is time for us to rise and declare once and for all what is absolutely inalienable rights, self-evident ones, that we're all created equal, and they are created in the divine image, and as such have a unique role to play in this world. in God's plan. And we need everybody else. We all complement each other. Instead of seeing the other as an enemy, they're part of your organism. Under the eyes of God, we're all part of one family. Where's that voice? You just don't hear it. I wish I could say my platform is as big as the President of the United States. But that should be the message. Instead of what we're seeing. Lame is not even the word. I feel it's like what's the word? Emasculated. Like, I mean, it's embarrassing. But as long as nobody speaks up, it's the blind leading the blind. Absolutely. So I hope that we all understand the gravity. That yes, we are in historic times. The most eventful event, do you say it that way? Most eventful experience in our lives. It's time for us to rise. If you feel the same way, do something about it. Speak up, share, all in a civil way, in a pleasant tone, but with clarity, with absolute clarity. Let's define what a truth is and what's a lie. And it doesn't matter how many people yell on the different, the pundits' shows. Yelling doesn't mean anything. Let's look at each argument for its own merit. And you'll always see the end story is who is really representing what is just, what is right. It is a historic opportunity. This has been Simon Jacobson, Meaningful Life Center. We're dedicated to Meaningful Life Center, not just to bring meaning and offering life skills, but to bring clarity, to create a conversation, to generate civil debate, decent behavior. It could be different opinions, but talk facts, not innuendos, not false narratives. And hopefully we can shift the needle and tip the scales and actually bring personal and global redemption to this world. Thank you so much. Check us out at meaningfullife.com. Subscribe to our offerings, to our growing YouTube channel. Please share, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, comments, suggestions. Be blessed and be well. May God bless America. May God bless the world. May we experience complete, lasting, and enduring, and peace forever in a new world order that we all, grassroots, help initiate. Thank you.
This program is brought to you by the Meaningful Life Center. Please help us continue our programs. Make even a small contribution at meaningfullife.com/donate.